Well, I greet you and welcome you here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And as we were just reading, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so I titled my message this morning, The Word of God. And there is a lot of things that come to my mind as I reminisce in my life journey and in relation to the Word of God. I thank God this morning that my parents taught me to read. And as little children growing up, they provided us with good reading material. My mother bought me a Bible when I was about 13 years old. She gave it to me as a Christmas gift. And in the back of that Bible, there was a schedule that guided me to read every day. And if I would follow that, I would read the Bible from cover to cover in 1 year. And so I attempted to do that for a number of years before I ever accomplished it. I would start in the beginning of the year and thought this was the year. But after a while, I neglected a couple days, and after a while, I was so far on behind, it wasn't worth trying anymore. And I was I'm not sure that I accomplished it after I was ordained in 1971 then, but I was able to do that for a number of years, but I haven't always accomplished it in the last years. I have started that I would begin in the beginning and read every day, and try to continue on so that I get from cover to cover. And to me, there is nothing more important than the Word of God. And so, as was just read here in John, the first chapter, and it went a number of years. I used to read the Bible as a history book. I was older when I committed my life to the Lord and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I did that, the Bible took on a new meaning. And I was not aware. One of the first things that came to my mind through Bible study, and as we got to the Gospel of John, and suddenly I realized that Christmas was not the beginning of Jesus Christ when he was born in Bethlehem as a babe. Now here, in the Gospel of John, he talks about John the Baptist bear witness in verse, we see here, that the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was Jesus Christ in person. And he was instrumental in the creation. And now here in John 1, verse 14, it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist says that, the scripture referring to John the Baptist says that John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And so we believe that he is, has always been with the Father. There are some of those things that we don't fully understand. But I'd like to ask a question this morning. What is so important about the Word of God? What would we know about God if it wasn't for His Word? I remember a Bible school teacher making the statement, and he said that we do not know anything about God but what He has revealed to us by His Word. And so if we stop to think, if I stop to think just a little bit, I would know very little if it weren't for the Word of God. And what God has told us, we believe that what is written in this book was given by God. This book tells us, Peter talks about it, he said that this is not of any private interpretation. In other words, this is not some man's or some men's ideas that are written. What is written was written by men who were inspired by God to write. And so we believe that all that we have here, now grant this is not the original writing, it has been translated, there may be a few things that could be worded a little different. But the message is still the same, and it's a message that is from God, and it is a message that is forever. We have several scriptures that tell us about that in Matthew 5. He says that there is nothing, not a jot or a tittle of this message that will pass away, that it will be fulfilled. Well, maybe I'll need to turn to that in Matthew 5 and verse 5:18-19 say like this: "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." In other words, even though heaven and earth pass away, nothing that is written, no detail, no marking or anything will pass away. It will be forever. And then also we have in Luke 16:17 puts it like this. He says that, and these are the words of Jesus, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. And so we believe that in this We have a message from God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. We have in that the plan of God, what God has planned from the beginning to the end. Now, not only do we have this from the beginning, we have kind of a progressive revelation where God gives the beginning and what's to follow to the coming of Christ, his resurrection and all that is in there, and then to the end. And we believe that there is nothing that will be a later revelation from God. We have today religions who claim their leader has given us a later revelation than the revelation of Jesus Christ, and therefore they say that that revelation is over the revelation of Jesus Christ. Our Bible tells us that there is not going to be another gospel. There is not anything else after this, because this is complete. Well, I'm standing before you, and I'm wondering how am I going to say what is most important about the Word of God here this morning. I can't go through the Bible this morning in the time allotted and pick out all the verses that tell us something about the Word of God. And so what I'm saying here this morning is somewhat of a summarization of the Word of God. Now, if we would not have the Word of God, we wouldn't know about Jesus Christ. The Word of God makes it possible for us to know what God wants us to know. The word of it is by the Word of God that we know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is our Savior. He died on the cross for our sin. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That is very clearly pointed out in his word. After that, he ascended into heaven, and after 40 days, after being 40 days on the earth, after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of his Father. His position today, according to Scripture, is sitting with his Father at the right hand of his throne, awaiting the time when he will come again to take his own unto himself. So let's just look at a few things this morning as to what the Word of God is. At Deuteronomy 8:3, it tells us that it is the guide for life. There Moses talking to the children of Israel just before they crossed the Jordan, and probably the last time that Moses talked with them, he talks about how that God humbled them and suffered them to hunger and fed them with manna, which they didn't know anything about. Neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the, that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And so there is a sense in which the Word of God gives us life, and also that it is a guide for our life as how we should then live. As Brother John was referring to this morning in the devotional. And we know that Jesus used this passage when he was tempted by Satan to make bread out of a stone. And he told Satan very clearly that it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, I'd like to insert something here about that there's a phrase that is used in the Bible, in the scriptures, where it talks about what is written. According as it is written. And I'd like to emphasize the fact that throughout the scripture, anything that was ever written in scripture never changes. There is nothing. Now, we realize that on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking to them, and there's a number of times where he says, "You have heard that it hath been said, but I say unto you." I don't think, I don't know of any place that Jesus made any difference in what was written. He did not say, that it has been written, but I say unto you. Jesus never did that. When it was written, it was established, and it will be there, and it will be for eternity, according to the scripture. And also that the Word of God is inspired, as again, Brother John made reference to that in 2 Timothy 3:16. And here we have that, again, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, the scripture that is made reference to in 2 Timothy 3:16 and several times in the New Testament, the scriptures were referring to the Old Testament. And because the New would not have been written as that was being written. And then again, the Word of God came from God, as in 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now we believe that the books of the Old Testament, the books of the Bible, have been written by men who were directed by God's Spirit to write. And also, the Word of God cannot be improved. In Deuteronomy 4:2, ye shall not add unto the Word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And so, the Word will stand as it is written. And again, in Deuteronomy 12:32, he talks about what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. I wanted to give some encouragement here in the beginning for our young boys and girls to read God's Word. There is nothing that will take the place of it. Some of you have been involved in Bible quizzing where you memorize large portions of Scripture. And that's something that we didn't know anything about when I was when I started reading the Bible. But I say that it is something that will go with you. There is something implanted into your lives when you memorize Scripture so that you can think when there is someone maybe asks you a question or maybe makes fun of you for something that you do because it's right. You can think of Scripture that encourages you and will help you in being able to do what is right and what is good. Because after you get to my age, it is not as easy to memorize Scripture. I basically depend on what I learned earlier and those passages that we memorized in the years of our Millwood Bible School. We did some memorizing. Some of the teachers encouraged us to do that. And these are the things that we remember, and these are the things that come to our mind as we go through life. Further on the Word of God is pure. In Psalm 119, 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Proverbs 10:5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in it. And I don't know what we could, how we could encourage each other that we trust the Word of God and believe what it says. In Malachi 3:6, a very interesting passage, here it says that the Word of God cannot change. Now, Malachi was a message to the children of Israel, the sons of Jacob, at a time when they were very, I don't know how to say it, they were not following God as they should have been. And so Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And then he says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is still extending his mercy to the sons of Jacob because he does not change. The covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cannot change because God put it in place. And may I say again that as we look at the plan of God, we believe according to his word that God had a plan from the beginning. And God has never changed from that plan. And God does not have to change his plan to include all of us because we were all included in his original plan. And he has given all of us an opportunity to find salvation in Jesus Christ. And I go back to that verse in 1 John 2, which I have repeated a number of times, where he says, "These things have I written unto you, little children, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. If anyone misses it, it is not the fault of God. It is not that God has not made provision for all men." So the Word of God cannot change. And also in Psalm 119:89, where he says, Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven," which is a seal. It is at a place where no one can tamper with it. It will not be changed because it is settled and it is established. And therefore, we can depend that what the Word says, that's the way it's going to be. And again, may I say that God isn't insisting that we get to the place where we understand everything. But he is saying that we do need to believe what he says, whether we understand it or not. And of course, where scholars have continuously have denied the Word of God because it didn't make sense to them. And we forget that the reason some things don't make sense to us is because we can only see a little bit of God's plan. We don't see the end as God does. God saw the end from the beginning. And maybe Psalm 119:160 would allude to that, where he says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy judgments endureth forever." When we read the Bible and we read about truth, it doesn't ever refer to truths as in the plural. Wherever the word truth is used, both in the Old and New Testament, it is always in the singular. There aren't a number of truths. There is one truth. And of course, Jesus, he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we have the truth personified in Christ. Another way to say it was that Jesus Christ is the truth in person. We also have in the scripture reference made to the lie, and which is personified in Satan, referred to as the father of lies. And so truth is something that doesn't need defense. Truth can stand on its own, but there's no variation. It doesn't have part truth or so on to be able to stand. And then also we have in John 17:17, that verse that in Jesus' prayer, he prayed to God. He said, sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so we have that as something. And of course, as we have already referred to, that that the word endures forever and will be forever. And we believe that we are given enough in the Bible, in the Word of God, so that we can know what God thinks is right and what God thinks is wrong. And we will be giving account to him for that, just the way that he said in his word. And so we can depend on that. A few more passages of scripture that I would like to touch. And we have here in Revelation 19:13, we see that that scene where the heaven is open, and we see him coming, referred to in Revelation 19, riding on a white horse. And in verse 13, it says that he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And so we have looked at a number of passages in Psalm 119. There is a number of them that talk about thy word in Psalm 119:9, and here's one for the young people. In verse 119:9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man or a young person cleanse his way? How are you going to keep your lives clean? It says that it is by taking heed according to the word, or to thy word, to the word of God. And in then in verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And of course, verse 89, I had quoted about being forever settled. Psalm in verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Now, interesting passage in the book of Deuteronomy. I don't have the chapter and verse on that, but there was a place where God was telling the children of Israel through Moses, and he said, "It is not a vain thing for you to keep these commandments and judgments and statutes and so on that he is giving them." He said, it's not a vain thing for you to keep them. He said, it is your life. That is a large factor of where we will end up at the end of our life, whether we are following the word of God or whether we are not. Because it's not a vain thing to do that. It's our life. Now, there's an interesting verse in Psalm 138, verse 2. In the King James Version, it reads, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Now, that last phrase is translated differently in some other translations, where it says that thou hast magnified thy name. Hast magnified thy word by thy name. Now, I don't know how many of you can follow me in the Martin Luther translation. The last term, he puts it like this: "Du hast deinen Namen über alles herrlich gemacht durch dein Wort." In other words, he has magnified his name by his word. And thought that was an interesting comment there. And so, how do we conclude here? And just a few things here I would like to summarize here, that the Bible is the Word of God. And the Word of God is final and authoritative. It is the final word. It is the final authority. And comes to my mind, sometimes I think, what will take place when we stand before God? And he will bring some things up that we violated. I don't know how all that will be. But I don't think that there will ever be any accusations, or I don't like to say accusation, there won't be anything where God will correct us that we'll be able to say that he's not right. Because he knows. He knows our very thoughts. He knows our intentions. He knows our attitudes. And we won't need a jury. We won't need a defense attorney, except Jesus Christ. How did Jesus say that? If you will confess me before my Father, I might not have that quite right there. But the idea is that when we confess Jesus, he will confess us to his Father. He says if we deny Jesus, he will deny us before our Father. And may I emphasize, we have no other way to go but through Jesus Christ and Him confessing us to Him. And so, the Word of God will be final. There will be no place that we can turn to the Word of God and justify anything that is not according to the way God said it. The things we don't understand, we don't try to reason out. But we believe God is able to do what He said He will do. The Word of God is given so that we might believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through His name. All centered around the Word of God. Praise His name. Let us kneel to pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that somehow by Your Spirit and Your unction from on high, You could clarify for us here this morning the things that we need to know that we don't understand. And also, dear Heavenly Father, that our hearts would say amen to Your will. And also, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we could learn how to allow for Your Spirit to direct us in every way, and especially to lead us into the paths of righteousness and those things which bring honor and glory to You. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the blessed privilege that we've had here this morning to assemble and to worship and to fellowship. And may we find ways, Heavenly Father, to encourage one another in Your Word, and that we would diligently seek to find Your will in everything that You lead us to. And so this morning, dear Heavenly Father, may Your word penetrate our lives. May it direct us, may it move us, and may it provide that we could live what we believe, and especially what we profess. And so may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted, and may we again in Your will and purpose say yes and allow for the Lord Jesus Christ be Lord and Master of our life. We trust You and thank You in His name. Amen.